everyone, and welcome to On Wednesdays We Watch One Tree Hill, the podcast where a bunch of nostalgic millennials sit around and talk about a TV show from the early 2000s that they either grew up with or have never seen before in their entire lives. As always, I am one of your co-hosts, Brody, and with me, as always, is Jesse.
Hi.
And Caitlin.
Hi. Happy New Year.
Yes, Happy New Year to everybody
Happy
who's listening.
New Year.
And to start off the new year, we are starting a brand new season of One Tree Hill. We are now at season 5, episode 1, titled 4 Years, 6 Months, 2 Days, which, fun fact, is a song by Tree Fort Angst.
Why is it called that, Brody?
Why is it called that, Jesse? It's because we have now flash-forwarded 4 years in the future.
Wow. Fun fact from my neck of the woods, I forgot to tell Ben that season 5 flashes forward.
That's amazing.
How did that go?
So I pull up the Hulu app and dig through, you know, the 3 months of television shows we've been watching since we last recorded. And he goes, 4 years, 6 months, 2 days. Wait, what is that? Are we flashing for, like, he put it together quickly, but it was then I realized that I forgot to
share that piece of information.
Neglected to share that with him.
Wow, that's amazing. All right, so shall we get into it?
Yeah,
let's do it.
Okay, so we open with a black title screen of One Tree Hill. We no longer get Gavin DeGraw.
Aww.
I know.
Bye, Gavin. Bye, Gavin. It's all right. We'll always have Gavin in our phones, right, Caitlin?
Indeed.
Yes. So,
listeners, for context, I had the absolute pleasure of getting to very briefly meet Gavin DeGraw recently, and I sent Brody and Jesse a photo to make them jealous.
Yep. And it worked.
Yes, and then we get a Lucas voiceover about how it seems like high school wasn't that long ago, but also feels like it was so long ago. And we go to the season 4 finale where we hear Brooke, you know, say her line about how they're going to be friends forever and nothing's going to change, everything's going to be fine. And Lucas says, yeah, 4 years from now, we'll meet right back here after we're done with college or whatever we're doing. And yeah, it flashes forward to 4 years later, where an adult Lucas Scott looks at the faded graffiti on the river court that the kids did that last night of their senior year.
An adult Lucas Scott who is 4 months older than high school age Lucas Scott.
Yes, I'd like to call season 5 tentatively the year where they let the boys not shave.
Yeah, he's got a better haircut, but the same bad jeans.
Yeah, yep. Correct.
Yeah. So,
fun fact. So as we've talked about many times over the course of this podcast, I am from North Carolina, about 2.5 hours from Wilmington, where they filmed. And my senior year of high school, my best friend at the time was interested in going to UNCW. So we went and toured the school together and we got to go to the river court, and it was still soon enough to when they filmed this episode that faded graffiti was still there.
Wow.
It was really cool. Like it was a very cool thing to see.
Love that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we see the faded graffiti on the river court, and it goes to the slightly dilapidated basketball hoop, I'd say. And it transitions to a play school basketball hoop. And we see a 4-year-old Jamie Scott shooting hoops in his backyard.
Oh, sweet baby.
He's so cute.
Listen, it's episode 1. I'm already calling it that he's my favorite secondary character.
You're absolutely correct.
Yeah, you're not wrong there. Yeah. And Haley comes out of the house and we see Nathan tell her that he doesn't want Jamie playing basketball. And Haley just says, he's 4 years old. He should be playing. And Nathan should go play with him. And Nathan just reiterates that he doesn't want him playing. Yeah.
Good start here, Nathan.
Yep. Well, I mean, the long hair and the scraggly beard didn't help things, but
no.
Yeah.
Then we go to Closeover Bros headquarters in New York City, where Brooke is a badass boss just making the rounds, calling out anorexia on her magazine cover and asking for extra foam on her latte with her assistant Millicent. And she also mentions to Millicent that she has a movie premiere to go to tonight. So she has to call one of the Knicks, not one of the New York Knicks, one of the actor famous Knicks. Yeah. Yeah.
Of the time.
Yeah.
Nick Lachey. Who were Zano,
Nick Reed. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know one of the three of those.
I know two out of the three. Yeah, it's fine. It's whatever.
Okay.
And she also tells her that Victoria can wait in the car. And Millicent says she's not going to like that. And Brooke says, well, it's my company.
Yep.
Then we go to Peyton, who is sitting at a desk at a record label in L.A. that looks really nice. And turns out, well, that's not actually her desk. It's her boss's desk, because she's the assistant to the assistant to John Knight, head of the label. And and she asks him if she can sit on the morning new music session meeting that they have, and he says she can if she drops a button on her blouse. He's one of those scuzzballs. But Peyton does it, so he's like, yep, you can come to the meeting. Gross.
Disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
Very disappointed.
Then Lucas comes to Haley's classroom at Tree Hill High, where Jamie is sitting at one of the desks coloring, and he asks him what he's drawing, and Jamie says he can't see it yet because it's not done. And Lucas says, I know the feeling, because we find out Lucas has not been writing that much, because Lucas is a writer now. If you don't remember from last season, he wrote a book. Yes.
Yep.
Good for him.
Good for him. Good yeah. Apparently that's all he's written. That's all he's wrote lately, because And Lucas asks Haley if she's ready to start teaching on her own, and Haley's super nervous about it, but Lucas tells her that she's going to do great. And he also asks about if she's hired any nannies yet. And she says, no, but she's working on it. And he says, okay. Cause you know, he really needs one. And by him, I mean Nathan, not Jamie.
He even says you can't babysit him forever.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Playing the pronoun game with her husband.
And she does say, well, it's only been 4 months. So immediately cut to Nathan watching the NBA draft. And we flash back to...
It's a recording of the draft.
It is a recording of the draft. Yes. We don't really know that at the time, but yes, it's a recording of the draft. And we flash back to Nathan, where he finds out he is the 10th pick in the NBA draft for the Seattle Sonics. And they are in their house they're in now, and he is buying this house in Tree Hill, and he's going to buy one in Seattle because Tree Hill is always going to be home. Plus, he tells her the money he's going to use to buy this house is just his shoe contract money, because Nathan Scott has shoes now.
Fuck yeah, he does. Great.
Yes.
Hell yeah.
Yes. And Jamie just goes, it's shoe money, mama. We got to buy the house.
Best he knows what's up. Character.
Jamie said, treat yourself.
Right?
Yeah.
He's like, it's shoe money, mama. I love it. And
enjoy with my dad while he's happy, mama. Let him buy the house.
Exactly.
What?
Yeah. And Haley's still super nervous about it. And Nathan just tells her that she just needs to get used to all of their dreams coming true, because they are. And we come back to present time, where we see Nathan in a wheelchair.
Yeah. What a reveal.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was, I mean, God, this show, what the hell, man.
So then we go to Mouth, who is trying to film his audition tapes for stations, because he still wants to be a sports reporter, but he is foiled every time by Junk and Fergie playing video games and their pizza.
His children are overacting in the background.
Yes. To the point where Mouth finally just says, Junk and Fergie play video games, drink beer, and eat pizza. I'm Marvin McFadden, and I'm still unemployed.
So here comes the first round of hot takes that I have from this episode.
There we go.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. We've got, I was telling Brody before you got here, I have a lot of thoughts this week. The first of which being that of the trajectory of all of our main characters so far, the most accurate ones for where they should be as now 22-year-olds, 21, 22-year-olds in their life are Peyton, who is the assistant to the assistant.
And is miserable.
And is miserable. Because fun fact, yep. These characters are younger than my assistant.
Like, it's fine. Everything is fine.
My assistant at my real job in the music industry is 24. Like, so they're like, she's younger. Like, Peyton is still younger than my current assistant. And Mouth, who is living in a 2-bedroom apartment with 3 other dudes.
Yeah.
The only realistic, like, portrayals thus far of your early 20s.
Yep.
And what it's like. And
yeah.
it made me laugh really hard. Because,
yeah.
Number one, because of the accuracy. And number two, because when this aired, I was still in high school. And I was, like, in awe of these 20-somethings who had their lives together, a.k.a. Lucas being a best-selling author, or Brooke having a multi-million dollar company and being like, wow, right. Can't wait for that to be my life.
Or Nathan, right. Who has shoes and a mansion.
Shoes.
It's fine.
Shoes and a mansion and dates with a Nick.
Right.
God.
Anyway, carry on. No.
As someone who's watching this for the first time at the age of 33, I'm like, everyone who is sad right now is an accurate portrayal of 22.
Also that.
That's a fact.
Yep, everyone who looks at their life and goes, I should be so happy right now, and is not accurately 22.
And that's exactly. The wild thing is they all are, even Brooke and Lucas, who have money.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
They're also sad.
Yes. Everyone is sad this episode.
Everyone's like, sad. Welcome to season 5. Everyone's sad.
Yep.
Except Jamie in the middle of it, who is just living his best goddamn life.
I will say, Jamie, Junk, Fergie, and Skills are living their best life. The rest of them fucking miserable.
Miserable. Oh, yeah. Yep.
God. Speaking of Skills.
What happens next to our sad characters?
Speaking of Skills, then we cut to Lucas, who's in the Tree Hill Gym, when Skills comes in for the first time and asks him how they ended up being the new head and assistant coaches of the Tree Hill Ravens. So, yes, Whitey has actually retired. Lucas and Skills are taken over because after Whitey retired and they left school, the team has sucked. And Lucas says losing is over now.
Do we know who took over the team when Whitey left?
Or I don't know. He ain't there anymore.
Nope.
What's funny too is it's only been 4 years. So really, whoever Lucas took over for probably only lasted that long.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Like, absolutely. As soon as they were like, oh, Lucas, you have a college degree now. Come coach basketball.
Yeah.
Like,
yes. Yeah, come it's like, oh, wait, you finished studies. College? Here we go.
Yeah. Yeah, come teach history and coach our sports team.
Because God forbid, God knows they wouldn't let him teach English or writing, you know, because he can't write.
Yeah. I know. Yeah. I think Haley's the English teacher, actually.
I think you're actually right. She is. She is. Yeah. So then we go to Peyton, who's sitting in on that morning music meeting, and they are listening to an actress turned reality star who is doing really, really crappy, shitty music. And they're all like, okay, great. And Peyton's like, can I play my band that I want to play? And they're like, sure, it can't get any worse. She was a band who has a really strong internet following. It's some indie band. They're kind of cool. And no one likes it at all. And Shitty John says he'll go with the reality star. And he then asks her, can you get us some lunch menus? Okay, thanks, bye. Again, accurate portrayal of a 22-year-old at a record label.
The mm-hmm. worst.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Then, speaking of Nathan's shoes, we go to Nathan, who pulls out a shoe. And turns out, like I said, it's Nathan's shoe. And they flash back to the night before the NBA draft, where Nathan's shoe is unveiled. Everyone's very excited. Lucas, Nathan, and Haley are celebrating at the bar because we know Nathan's getting drafted tomorrow. And Haley leaves to go relieve the sitter, but tells them just to take the limo and not drive since they've been drinking. And they'll just come get the car later. Dot, dot, dot.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
I mean.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Then good. We immediately go to Lucas, who is trying to write, and it's not going well. And he is then sent a video chat by his editor, Lindsay. And she asks if he's writing, and he tells her he hasn't wrote anything good because he sucks. And she tells him she can't be his editor if he doesn't write anything. And then he starts shaking his laptop screen and saying there's an earthquake and closes his laptop on her to hang up.
Two things.
So Lucas has also matured in the last 4 years.
Yes.
Absolutely. Are there earthquakes in North Carolina, Caitlin?
There are not. I don't think there are earthquakes in New York either, where I believe Lindsay is located.
Also, we had one boyfriend hot take after the wait, we're jumping in the future. Mm-hmm. And that was when Lucas typed, I suck on the computer screen. Uh-huh. And Ben goes, he gets it.
Excellent.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
Yes.
So then we go to Brooke, who is leaving her movie premiere with one of her Knicks, and the paparazzi's, you know, taking their pictures and chasing after him. And they get into the limo and we meet Victoria, who is as big a bitch as you would think she'd be after the first conversation they had about her. And it's she berates Brooke for complaining about the paparazzi and dismisses the Nick a couple blocks away and kicks him out of the limo. And he's like, well, you know, maybe I thought we could, you know, grab dinner or something. And she's like, it's called Close Over Bros. We want the press to think she's sleeping with you, not actually sleeping with you. Go away.
Presumably that is a famous man, right?
I think like, so.
Theoretically speaking, I didn't recognize
him. She
just
drops on a street in New York.
Uh-huh.
I mean, yep. Honestly, yeah. It's New York. He'll be fine.
Yeah. I mean, he calls for a taxi right after that. He's fine.
Yeah. It's also a very empty street for New York, like two blocks away from a big movie premiere. It's a very empty street.
Yes. Then Brooke just tells her that she's rude, but Victoria doesn't care. And then she starts running down the agenda for the next day and then shows her the updated model list for the new show they're doing. And someone isn't on it, and Brooke is not happy about it. But Victoria says, nope, she's gone, and you're going to be the one to tell her because it's your company, and I'm not going to fire her. You are.
Rude.
Great.
I have theories.
Okay.
Can I ask a question and get my first interesting of the season?
Absolutely. Sure.
Is it Rachel?
Interesting.
Thank Who's you. To say?
Who's? Oh! Who's to say? Is it?
It could be Carrie D. You don't know.
It could be.
Ben Maybe thinks
Brooke
it's Bevan.
Brooke is besties with Carrie D now.
Oh, Ben thinks it's Bevan. Okay.
Ben's okay. Like, it could be Bevan. I'm like, you're right. Sure.
That's actually a good theory.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
Damn it.
Yeah. I mean, it I could be anybody.
Of,
and
I made
Bevan
fun
is
of
a solid guess.
Yes. So then we cut to Brooke, who is sitting alone in her New York penthouse apartment and calls whoever it is she has to fire and just tells her it's not personal, it's business, and fires her and hangs up. And you can tell she's miserable for doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then we go back to Lucas, who brings a postcard for Jamie from Karen and Lily, who are in Ireland right now. So Karen is no longer in Tree Hill. She is out traveling the world with her daughter. Good for Karen.
Good
for Karen. Yes. And Jamie puts the postcard on his world map he has at his in his room and identifies where England is. And Lucas goes, yeah, you are a genius, aren't you?
Doesn't he say, are you sure you're not my kid? Or
right?
Is that
he
later?
Does. He does. No, he
like,
does.
Oh.
Yep. Yeah. Then Lucas goes downstairs to talk to Nathan, who is using a trophy to get booze out of the top shelf of a cabinet because Haley tries to keep the booze out of reach, or she tries to. And Lucas tells him it's a little early and asks him how's his physical therapy going. And Nathan asks, how's the second book going? Yeah.
So brothers are brothering right off the bat.
Uh-huh.
Brothers got a brother.
Yeah. And then Lucas says that he heard that Nathan will be back on his feet soon. And they start to argue. And it pretty much devolves into Lucas taking Nathan's bottle of booze away. And Nathan threatening that Dan won't be the only one to kill his brother if he doesn't give that bottle back.
Ah.
Uh-huh.
Ew.
We went real dark there, kids.
And then Jamie walks in the room.
Jamie just walks in, yeah. And then everyone just goes, well, shit.
Cool.
Yep.
Cool family.
Uh-huh. Yep. And so Lucas pours out the bottle and leaves with Jamie. Yeah. Then Lucas takes Jamie to the river court where Skills, Mouth, Junk, and Fergie are. And Skills gives him a jersey. And he starts to play. Well, I should say a jersey. It's like the size of Jamie.
It's a dress.
Yeah.
On Jamie, yes. Is a dress.
Yes. Yeah. And they start to play basketball until Skills blocks Jamie's shot. And they're like, dude, are you ever going to let him shoot a basket? No, Shorty's in the paint. He's got to learn. And I think it's Fergie just goes, dude, he's 4.
All I think about was that TikTok sound that's like, so you want a beer? He's 4.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. But Skills is like, no, he gotta learn. He's gotta learn. He's gotta learn. Oh God. So then we go back to LA where shitty record label head president John asks Peyton why she came here 4 years ago from Podunk, Tree Hill, North Carolina. And she says she wanted to discover and sign bands that can change people's lives, like the same bands that changed her life. And John tells her it's called show business for a reason. It's about the business more than it is the music. And she disagrees and says that she still believes in it. Just go into any of the clubs and you'll see people looking for something. And John tells her, no, they're not looking for, you know, enlightenment and the music and everything. They're looking for excess. They're looking for drugs and sex and all that kind of stuff. And he tells her she would get so much farther ahead if she accepted the business side and played the game. And she says she's not interested in playing the game. And he says, oh, but you already did by dropping that button today.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Shitty John is shitty in a lot of ways, including telling her to drop a button.
Mm-hmm.
But
he's not wrong.
He's not wrong.
Nope.
As somebody who works in the music industry, I feel for Peyton. And in this episode specifically, like, I really identified with Peyton and how she feels about music and the music industry and the music business side of it and all of it. And it's just like, and it's kind of it's one of those weird things of like, this is how you know she's 22.
Mm-hmm.
Because mm-hmm. that is a very like 22 year old, like doe-eyed idealistic hot take from yep. her.
Been and there, done that.
And I think where, you know, John could have done a much better job of being a mentor would be to not be a pessimistic asshole and tell her she needs to find a way to accept the business side of it and keep that drive. Not.
Yeah.
Sell
yeah. But he's an asshole.
He's a pessimistic asshole.
Yeah.
So
yeah, if he had done that, she wouldn't have gotten the catalyst she needed
correct.
To do what she does.
Yes. Correct.
By the end of the show.
Which is what we needed for the television show. So yeah, great. Yeah. Anyway, then we go back to Jamie, who is playing video games with the boys, and he and Uncle Lucas win, and so they're all celebrating, and Haley comes in right then while Jamie's upside down in Lucas's arms, because it's hilarious, and it's really adorable when she's like, okay, go say goodbye to the boys, and he gives them all fist bumps, and it's absolutely freaking adorable, but while that's happening...
Yeah, it's the weirdest village you could have raising your child. Like, yeah, the thing it takes a village, and it's Fergie and Junk and Skills.
And Mouth like, and Lucas, yep.
And Mouth, yeah, it's the bad nickname brigade. I almost got that out in one take.
Well, so far they call Jamie Jimmy Jam, and what did Skills call him?
J. Luke.
No, that's no. Lucas calls him.
Oh, that is no, he calls him J. Luke. God, what does he call him?
I do like J. Luke though. That's
yeah.
not as yeah. awful.
Yeah, he has tons of nicknames. Yeah. They rarely call him Jamie.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but while he's doing that, Lucas tells Haley that he did give Nathan some grief about not being on his feet, and Haley starts to make excuses for Nathan, but Lucas says she has to push him. And Jamie then comes and says goodbye to Uncle Lucas and tells him that he should be writing. To which everyone goes, oh, burn.
So here's the thing. When Skills said goodbye to Jamie, he was whispering something in his ear.
Uh-huh.
My personal headcanon of what happened is, Jamie, I can't talk today. Skills was like, go fuck with your uncle. Tell him this.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. He'll do anything Uncle Skills says.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's Uncle Skills. Yeah. Then we get a montage kind of thing. So bear with me as it flashes through like all of them very quickly. So we start with Peyton, who is walking down an LA street. Brooke, who is walking another red carpet and gets interviewed and asks if she misses just being a normal 21-year-old girl. And she says she misses it, but then she corrects herself and says that Clothes Over Bros is her dream come true, and this is what she always wished for. Then we go to Lucas, who stares at a blank computer screen again because he still can't write, apparently. Peyton, as she's walking down the street still, finds Lucas's book, An Unkindness of Ravens, on a street-side stand, and she sees Brooke on the cover of a magazine. Then Haley and Jamie get home, and Jamie goes upstairs, but while Haley goes to clean up Nathan's beer bottles and snacks and everything, he's littered around the couch, she says to him that his son needs him, and he cannot become his father. And Nathan tells her that his father is in prison and so is he, but Haley says that he can walk out.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
Yep. Nathan did such a good job, like, proving to everyone he was more than Dan Scott's son in season four. Mm-hmm. And I feel like probably for the 4 years in between, it's like, he probably was like the best husband and the best dad and all this shit. And like the way he went from zero to Dan Scott.
In just a couple months.
Yeah. In 4 months.
And any sign of adversity, he truly reverts back to full Dan Scott.
Mm-hmm. Oh, which is just so sad.
It's very sad.
Yeah. So then we go back to Peyton, who comes home with not only a copy of the magazine with Brooke on it, but the copy of Lucas's book. And we see that she has multiple copies of Lucas's book. And she actually even turns on the audio version of Lucas's book and plays the part where Lucas talks about Peyton having integrity and no one can change that. And she gets really sad and shuts it off immediately.
So Lucas Scott really changed zero names in this novel he wrote based on his best friends.
Correct. Oh no, it's not really a novel. It's like
it's almost a memoir.
Yeah, it's like a memoir novelish kind of thing. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's about his life and his friend's life and all that kind of stuff. It's not, he doesn't ever portray it as being like fiction. He's like, nope, this shit actually happened.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is the kind of book that if the show actually would have ended like at the end of season four, he would have closed it and it would have been like called One Tree Hill. And that would have been the last, like it would have been him writing it the whole time. Is that kind of like the vibe of the book?
Yeah. If they wanted a schmaltzy ending, yes, absolutely.
If they wanted a schmaltzy ending, did you not see the season four finale?
I mean, it was perfect. I don't know what you want.
It was.
I didn't say schmaltzy wasn't perfect. I'm just saying what we got was schmaltzy.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Different kind of schmaltzy.
Yeah.
So yeah, then we see Brooke get home to having 47 messages on her answering machine. And for those listening, an answering machine used to be what your voicemail was. And it was its own separate machine on your landline, kids. And she erases all Brody. 47 messages. What?
So here's the thing, Brody.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure the majority of people who listen to this podcast.
Oh, I know. I was making a joke and it sucked. Moving on. Jesus.
We're old, Brody. And the
I know we're old.
Podcast, for the most part, are also old.
Even after this flash forward, we're still closer to the age of their parents than we are the kids. It's fine.
Yeah, don't talk about that.
Yeah, we're nothing's fine. Everything's fine. Nothing hurts. So, yes.
Honest to God, my hip hurts like crazy today, and this is like really inappropriate. Like I've been limping around my fucking apartment all day.
Oh my God.
I don't know if it's the weather or what, but anyway, probably. So James Lafferty, who was pretty close to the age that Nathan was, right?
18 when they filmed season one.
Okay. So he's actually like 22 playing 22. Oh, okay.
I think he's like, cause he was supposed to be 16 in season one. So
he's, okay,
I'd say he's like 25.
He's 23 in 2008 when this aired.
Okay. So okay. He is still the most like he is still the closest to the age they are supposed to be.
Yes. Yes.
Right. Yeah. It's almost him playing his own age, like yes. more so even than in season one.
Yes. Correct.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep. So then we get another quick look of Lucas looking at pictures of his first book and his book signing, and he smiles. And then we go to Peyton, who she calls someone. We don't know who it is. And she says, I'm going to read it verbatim because it's a voiceover over what's going to happen next. And she says, hi, it's Peyton. What happened to us? You know, I miss who I used to be. I want to have a home again. You know, I miss that. And I miss you. I guess I just miss all of it. So Peyton misses something, apparently. That's what I got from that.
She misses all of it.
She misses all of it. Yep. And while that's happening, Nathan is drinking and in a fit of rage, basically destroys an entire bookshelf, sort of, and all the contents, while Jamie runs into his mother's bedroom and climbs in bed with her while his dad is destroying their house.
Throwing a tantrum.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Ugh. And then we see Skills, Mouth, Junk, and Fergie having a fun water fight in their apartment. And I'm like, dude, how can you have a water fight in your apartment? You're never going to get that deposit back.
I think that ship has sailed a while ago.
That's very true. Yeah. The minute those four moved in. Yeah.
Yeah.
Then, yeah. So then we then see Lucas come to Lindsay's office to apologize for missing his deadline again. And she tells him that she remembers the first time she read his book and it spoke to her and it was a great first novel. But she reminds him that a writer's career is about a body of work and it's been 2 years since his last book. And he tries to flirt with her to get, you know, more time. And she just tells him to close the door and leave.
She doesn't tell him to leave, does she?
She just says to close the door.
Shut the door. And I'm like, this bitch, what is happening?
Ooh, well, we'll find out later. Indeed, we will find out. Yeah.
Then we go to Brooke and Victoria. While Victoria berates Brooke about how she acted on that red carpet, about saying that she missed being a normal 21-year-old. And normal 21-year-olds don't get to fly to Milan to approve the textiles for their new fall line. Yeah.
Okay.
Great.
Question. Second interesting question of the episode. Is this Brooke's mom?
Interesting.
Okay, got it. Got it. Okay. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Facial expressions say it all.
God damn it. The moment you said you had theories, I was like, she fucking knows.
Uh-huh. I'm anyway, sorry. Moving on. Then we go to Peyton, who comes into the morning meeting and tells John that he was wrong about the kids in the clubs that are just looking for decadence. She says, and I quote, "The day that I think it's just about making money is the day that I betray everything I've ever believed in about music and life and myself." She then immediately quits and tells him she's going home. And he says she's making a big mistake. And she says, "No, John, I'm fixing one."
Oh, snap.
Sure, honey. Sure.
Got it.
Sizzles.
Dang.
Uh-huh. Yep. Snap, crackle, and pop.
Yep.
Yep.
As they would say in 2008, she is the bomb.com.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes. Then we go to Jamie, who is watching Nathan passed out on the couch, and Nathan wakes up and he just stares at his dad and he says, "I think you drink too much." And Nathan says, "I think you're right." And then Jamie leaves with Haley, and Nathan with just a look on his face of like, what just happened? What did my son just call me out on my shit?
Nathan realized 4-year-olds pay attention.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. 4-year-olds observe and know more than you think, Nathan. It's fine.
So much more.
Yeah.
No matter what you say, children will listen.
Oh my God. Sure. Thanks. Yes.
Our Sondheim break for the episode.
Yes, I was about to say, lovely Sondheim reference there. Then we get Lucas, who finds some old photos from high school, and he ends on a photo of Peyton as we see Peyton landing at Tree Hill Airport.
She's back.
Then we see Brooke getting ready to leave Clothes Over Bros, and Millicent tells her all about the stuff for her trip, and Brooke tells her that she's a great assistant, but try to have some fun while she's gone.
And then she tells her, you're young, and I'm literally, this was my second hot take, was y'all are the same age.
Right?
You know, she goes, you're only young once, and I'm like, bestie, that girl is at most 6 months younger than you.
Yep.
Maybe a year if we're being generous.
Yeah. Yeah. God. Then we see Nathan, who is watching the draft again, and he flashes back to the night before the draft. And we see Nathan is berated by some stupid jerk who doesn't like the Seattle Sonics. And he picks a fight with Nathan, who starts to get in his face until Lucas breaks it up between them. And he says he has too much to lose. So Nathan storms out while the jerk is still going, oh, yeah, walk away, whatever, blah, 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 blah. And Nathan storms out and gets into his car. But Lucas stops him from leaving and says, let's just take the limo. Let's just take the limo. And Nathan's like, all right, you're right, you're right. So he gets out. And as he gets out of the car, he hears the jerk in the bar say that, oh, yeah, didn't you see he hit me? I'm going to sue him. And so Nathan storms back in the bar and says, dude, I never hit you. The jerk then insults him and insults Haley. And so Nathan actually does hit him and gets into a huge fight with the jerk and his three friends to the point where the jerk throws Nathan out of the bar window.
Uh-huh.
Lucas rushes to Nathan, and Nathan says he can't feel his legs as Lucas looks down and sees a giant shard of glass sticking out of Nathan's back. And then we go back to present time, and we see that, of course, Nathan was never drafted due to his injury.
Yeah. But not before we see Luke holding yet another one of his loved ones while they are bleeding on the street, screaming for help. Like, this boy, this is the very first episode of the fifth season. I'm sure it's happened once per season.
Probably.
Getting close.
Boy. That's what his second book should be about. This isn't even the first
time with Nathan.
Right?
Yeah.
This is what his second book should be about. Like, instructional pamphlet about how to properly cradle a bleeding out loved one while calling for help.
Jesus.
Oh, boy. Okay. Swiftly moving on, we get another montage moment for the end of the episode where we see Peyton, who visits the River Court. Lucas, still not writing. Haley is getting Jamie ready for bed, and he asks her why Daddy is so sad. And Haley says that it's just a really hard time for him, but he loves Jamie, and she asks him if he knows that. And Jamie replies that Uncle Lucas loves me.
Oof. Big oof.
Yep. Then we see Lucas come to the River Court and find Peyton there. And we realize he wasn't the one she was talking to because he was very surprised to see her. And we also find out that they haven't seen each other in 2+ years.
And he's not happy to see her either.
No.
The look on his face is of a broken man.
And she goes to give him a hug and he stops her and says that he's with someone. We then see Brooke land and she's in an airport and we see her pass a Clothes Over Bros sign. And then Mouth finishing his demo tape while the rest of the guys are asleep.
You got to tucker out those kiddos before you can get any real work done.
Exactly. And then we see Peyton now still sitting alone at the River Court. She pulls out Lucas's book from her bag and it flashes back to when she made her phone call. And we then see Lucas is home. And he pulls out an engagement ring from the top drawer of his dresser until he's interrupted by a voice, a familiar voice. It is Lindsay, his editor. That's who he's seeing because he's smooching her on the bed. And we see Haley sitting in her empty classroom the day before she starts her first day of school as a teacher on her own. And then we see Nathan in the backyard pick up Jamie's basketball. And shoots it, misses, and then promptly breaks Jamie's plastic basketball hoop.
It almost hits Jamie in the process.
Exactly. Yep. He throws it and almost hits Jamie. who just wanted to show his dad a picture that he drew of him playing basketball. And Jamie starts to walk away until Nathan calls out to him, and he wheels his wheelchair over to Jamie, and then struggles but does slowly stand up out of the chair and tells Jamie that he's sorry for everything and gives him a hug.
Mm-hmm. There you are, season four, Nathan. I knew you were in there.
Yep, he was in there somewhere. We knew it.
I knew you were in there, buddy.
So then at the end, we find out who Peyton actually called. It was Brooke. And Brooke tells her that 4 years ago, everything seemed so clear. You know, they were all going to go off and save the world or conquer the world and everything and live happily ever after. And Peyton asks her if she's actually happy. And Brooke says, sometimes. And Peyton says that she's not happy at all anymore. And Brooke asks her if it's, you know, if money, fame, power, wealth, all this stuff would make you happy, because she has all of it and it doesn't make her happy. And she says, I think it's love. And whether that love is for a boy or a girl or a place or something like that, that's where you can find happiness. And she asks Peyton where she can find that love. And Peyton says, I think I need to go home. And Brooke says, I was hoping you'd say that. And we find out at the end of the episode that Brooke did not go to Milan to approve those new textiles for her fall line. She came back to Tree Hill to meet up with Peyton. And the episode ends.
Oh,
cute.
So cute. There is season 5, episode 1 of One Tree Hill. Ladies and gentlemen, what did we think?
It's a great season opener. And
it is.
I know, Brody, we talked about this while we were waiting for Jesse to log on, but we both forgot, Jesse, that this was a 2-hour premiere when it aired.
Really? So the next episode played back
immediately
to back?
After. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. And so I was like, I had to stop myself from watching the next episode.
Yeah. But just to be clear, it is not a 2-parter by any stretch. They just slapped 2 episodes together to make it a whole big night, because it was a huge deal. I remember at the time they were promoing the hell out of this show because of the fact that
they were time jumping.
They were time jumping. It was, because here's the thing. It was one of the first shows to ever do it. Nobody had ever really done it before, especially on a teen drama, to then go, okay, they're no longer teens. They are adults. We're moving on. Here we go. And the CW leaned in hard on that. And I mean, even the summer before it aired, or I think it was fall, because there was a mid-season premiere, they released teasers that they filmed of like what everyone was doing in those 4 years. Like, it showed Brooke at Close Over Bros, Peyton in LA, Nathan in basketball, all that kind of stuff. So it was really, they leaned hard into it. So I remember that premiere night was a huge, huge deal for them mid-season in January of 2008 that they did that.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
No,
I love this. I think also, like, it helped me watching it today that we did, the three of us also took that break, right? Mm-hmm. Because it's been 2 months since I have honestly thought too much about these characters. So it's, yeah, no. So I had some separation from high school, everyone, and I was really coming in fresh tonight. And it was a good start. I'm into it. Yeah. I'm excited to see what shenanigans the crew gets up to.
Yeah.
Now that they're all going to be in Tree Hill.
Yeah, it's definitely a chapter 2 of the show.
Yeah.
You know, and it's why, you know, we thought it was the best time for us to take that break, because first 4 seasons are their last 2 years of high school. It's its own separate story. And now it almost feels like it's an entirely new show starting from scratch again, because we learned so much more about the characters, what they've done in the last 4 years, what we've missed, what they're still wanting to do, all that kind of stuff. So it's a lot of fun, actually, to get back to the characters that we know and love, but see them in a very different light. And all of them are in a very different light.
Yeah.
Because it's like, Brooke is no longer the queen bee who is self-conscious about going out into the real world. She is thriving in the real world.
Uh-huh.
And it's like everyone is kind of in their own weird place where you didn't think they would end up, but at the same time, also where we figured they would end up, you know? And I think the only one who kind of takes a little bit of a back seat this first episode is really Haley, because we don't know much about what's gone on with Haley besides the fact that she's now, you know, a teacher and Nathan's been a shitbag for the last few months and that's about it.
Yeah.
Right.
But next episode, a lot more Haley. I do remember that. Yes.
Good news.
Yes.
Her haircut looks great. I'm very excited to see what she's been up to. She's got good mom hair.
Teacher hair.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah.
No, I'm pumped. Also, I need to shout out the fact that they played Freshman, and I forgot how much I love that song. Mm-hmm. They started playing it, and I'm like, oh, fuck.
Great song. Yeah, yes. I did too. I was like, really great song.
Yeah,
it really hit me in a place tonight. Like, wowzers. Yeah. So they're really coming in strong with the soundtrack as well. There was so much music in this episode.
Mm-hmm.
It felt like every 2 minutes, 3 minutes, there was a new song title flashing.
That is what they do the next couple seasons, and it's great.
Damn, it was wild.
Yeah. So it's
to have Jesse make season 5 predictions until after we talk about the next episode, because since it was technically a two episode night.
Yes. Yes.
That was, I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll give you time to ponder and make predictions.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yes. 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 Yes.
You are benevolent overlords.
Well, you know, and I will say this, this is one of the shorter seasons, because it's only technically 18 episodes because of the writer strike.
We gotta love the writer's strike.
Oh, sure.
One of the formidable events in entertainment in my youth.
Mm-hmm.
Truly.
Yeah. That writer's strike, it really messed everything up. So yeah.
Fucked everything.
But I'm very excited because season 5, I've always said my favorite arc of the show is really 3 and 4 and 5 and 6. And we're smack dab in the middle of it now. And I'm very, very excited.
And to be clear, when we say the writer's strike fucked everything up, we don't mean that the writers didn't deserve the things that they were asking for, because they did.
Exactly.
So. Yeah, no, they were in the right. We are firmly on the writer's side here.
We are
firmly
on the side of the writers and are proud of them for striking and doing what they needed to do and rallying in that way.
Yes.
But it messed everything up in the sense of,
we didn't get as many episodes of One Tree Hill as we actually wanted, selfishly.
Or any
so there's
TV
that.
Show for that
exactly.
Matter.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. It had ramifications beyond scripted TV show that we are still seeing the ripples of today.
Yep.
Yeah. That is why reality TV show became what it is today, is because there were no writers to write scripted television for a while.
Yep.
And we are still seeing that today. So
yes.
Anyway.
Yes. So. Anyway, anything else we want to add about this wonderful episode before we wrap it up, kids?
I got
wrap it up. Print it.
Wrap it up. All right. Well, that's going to do it for us, guys. Thank you so much for listening. As always, do not forget to like, rate, and subscribe to the podcast. All of your likes and ratings really do help us out in the long run. Rate us 5 stars, if you would, please. It's very much appreciated. And follow us on social media. We are everywhere you can find social media at On Wednesdays Pod. We live most often in the Instagram DMs. If you want to drop us a line, Caitlin and I are more than happy to respond. Jesse's still not allowed in the Instagram DMs. Unless you want to talk about the high school year. She's allowed to talk about high school now.
yes
firmly in the high school years for Jesse still at this point. Everything else, nope, sorry, can't do it. So yeah, there's that. And yeah, we will see you guys next week for another wonderful episode of On Wednesdays We Watch One Tree Hill. We'll see you guys then. Bye.
Bye.